This isn't the first time we've actually recorded this episode on the incredibly sweary advice of legal counsel. We have had to heavily redact some of the information in what was the original recording of this episode. I'm not saying it's got any better. It's probably got worse, but it is marginally different, maybe.
I'd like to say that it was all because of you as well.
It was all because of James. He said some things which were ill-advised.
Yes.
And this is how we're starting 2024, is it? With more unprofessional caveats.
Yeah.
And out-of-date information on the script that none of us have checked since we wrote it.
Yeah.
New year, new us.
Hi there, and welcome to both 2024 and episode 148 of the ADHD Adults Podcast. Mrs. ADHD already looks startled and confused. I'm James Bryan, the man whose workplace is a castle with all lightning on it, and the main discrimination is from people that don't like bats and shit accents, apparently. And as usual, I'm joined by the man who doesn't discriminate between boring us with science or boring us with his anecdotes, Dr. Alex Connor, and the only woman who's discriminated against herself, Mrs. ADHD. Alex, hi.
Is this one about bullying in the worst place? I think if it is, James, you should probably seek help from Brian Brains or... I can't remember your therapist's name.
Wow, they were odd ones.
I can't remember if I said when I said worst place instead of workplace, but thanks for bringing it back up. Obviously, that's helpful. Sam, hi.
Hi.
Good. How are you both? Mrs. ADHD first.
I'm okay a bit. I've still got the shits. I didn't really sleep much. I got overexcited after my family come to visit yesterday, but I'm all right. How are you?
Nope. Alex, he also asks wearily, how are you?
I'm excellent, thanks. Happy 2024. Obviously, post-Christmas, our listener numbers have either dropped or remained high. I honestly don't have a clue.
Okay.
Would you believe, though, that one of those listeners has sent us a letter?
No.
That's right, James. It's from a... I'm just going to check. Did you notice that took a bit longer? It's because I picked up an old snot rag instead of my tissue that crinkles noisily.
Oh, nice.
It's from Robert from Kidderminster. It says...
Oh. Wow.
Even though the last episode was on something else because we're confused, I've written a letter about the anhedonia one, so I'm doing that anyway. I listened to your episode on anhedonia about 3 months ago. I should point out that until he Googled it, James thought anhedonia was a mountain in Wales. Thanks for that, Robert. That was a Snowdonia joke, Sam. Snowdonia, you see.
Oh, really bad one.
We've had a real letter. They're all really bad, Sam. We've had a real letter. Can I read it out?
No.
Yes, please. Love that.
It's from Elisa Rabona.
Oh.
Probably Rabone, not named after the football kick. Hi, James. Hi, Alex. That's it. Just wanted to drop in and say hi. I'm currently waiting for an ADHD diagnosis with, I can't read that company, it says. And I've been trying to learn as much as I can to see how much of it applies to me. And whether I'm just simply lazy, forgetful and disorganised. Oh, God, you've been there. I've just discovered your ADHD podcasts, and it is beyond doubt with me now that I clearly have adult ADHD, so I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for such an amazing, fun-filled, easy-to-follow podcast that's taught me so much about both ADHD and myself. Your brilliant humour has helped massively with holding my attention, and I literally lol listening to you. Can't wait to listen to the rest of the episodes as I await my assessment. Thanks, guys. Kiss, kiss.
Oh, that's apologies lovely, for me joining.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've probably stopped listening at that point, haven't they?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. I literally D-lol. I also wanted to do the joke. What? Is that because I did a purposeful pause?
Yeah.
It's 2024. There's a bear in person. I wanted to do an anhedonia joke about being my favourite kind of nightclub, but... Again, that was not the last episode. It was 3 months ago. I've had a note from the metrics.
And you've skipped forward. Oh, right.
It's editorial. I did do that, yes, but I was making an editorial decision to go with it anyway.
Sorry.
I also, as Sam can see, I've also had a note from the metrics intern about the next city we have listeners in 3 months ago, which was the fantastic Manchester. It's the second city if you're in Manchester. It's about 10th if you're not. The metrics intern talking has told us a fact about Manchester. If the number of people who claim to have visited Manchester to go clubbing in the Hacienda actually did, the population of the world would be triple what it is.
Oh, I love the Hacienda.
That one,
that one is true.
It probably is about right.
Have you thought of acting as a career change, Sam?
No.
I wonder why not. Anyway, as usual, this Alex, can you please just spend six minutes finishing that book chapter you promised me in May of a podcast? It's a tragedy in three parts. We choose a theme. Last time around was, I honestly have no idea. What was it about?
I don't know.
It wasn't.
Oh, it was the year in ADHD.
Yeah, but there was something
before that.
Addiction? I don't know. Last time was about something. We don't know what. Something, and today we're something. Focusing. Today we're focusing on
something else.
For the second time,
Halloween.
In a re-recorded ADHD and workplace discrimination. So yeah. Buckle in for some giggles. Thanks to people, ? Off of Discord for suggesting this topic. It's going well. I think this is going well so far.
What people
I'd like to say.
I think it went better last time.
I don't think it did. Unlikely. Anyway,
it never does.
As usual, the three parts include the Pat Sharp of evidence, Alex the psycho education monkey, talking about the theme, our personal reflections, heavily redacted, on workplace discrimination. And then finally, just a tip, tipping, spunk trumpeting, a bit of Gabby Logan, whatever you like to call the last part of the podcast, if you like to call it anything. So, Alex, it's my belief that you should be discriminated against in this workplace, but somehow you keep being allowed to do this. So tell us some evidence or whatever about workplace discrimination and ADHD.
Righto. So discrimination in general affects about 10% of adults, a bit higher in women, and the number changes from country to country a bit. It's very difficult, though, to get figures on ADHD. Well, you know why, because of research, blah, blah, blah. Workplace discrimination due to disability in general, though, is very high. That is usually, in the stats, the visible disabilities, the so-called visible disabilities, though, where successful challenges to that discrimination have been found. When you look at hidden disabilities from neurodivergent conditions, Crohn's disease, many, many, many others, it's a lot less well supported in culture, in society, and legally. Probably no surprise, there are no official or obvious figures on ADHD discrimination other than the anecdotal tsunami from us and ours, the people that talk to us and what we read about. Having said that, the legend that is Russell Barkley published that we are 60% more likely to be fired from a job. And a different paper suggested that a quarter of employees on long-term sick due to stress-related illness also met the criteria for ADHD. Good news is that regardless of your position on ADHD as a difference or a disorder, in the UK and most of the countries in the OECD or whatever it's called, ADHD is protected under some form of Equalities Act in the UK. That's the 2010 Equalities Act or Disabilities, from the name of it, protecting you from ableism and inequality in the workplace, in principle, of course.
Is this where you start to get wildly political, like a 1980s alternative comedian?
I'm not going to not be wildly political. Anywho, adults with ADHD are underemployed, concomitant with their abilities, intellectual and otherwise. This is predominantly because, and actually I can't stress enough that this is more my professional opinion than actual science, our society unconsciously assigns norms that are sexist, ableist, racist, culturally biased, heteronormative. And we think that those norms, those beliefs, are the natural state of human condition. That's how everything is. And therefore, we should stick to those because those are the norms. And it isn't the case. It's not true. And it's why it matters that if there's a TV advert for chips and there's a same-sex couple in it, it matters. Representation matters. Take it outside of ADHD. more than 10 years ago, in 2012, 43% of British people supported same-sex marriage. Then it was brought in. Last year, that went up to 73% because it's viewed as societally normal now.
That may be, I don't know, a subtle hint, but I'm not going to marry you, Alex.
Agree to disagree.
Anyway, get to the ADHD point.
Good, Bab. I'm getting there. What it means is that the work environment, the work processes, work expectations, and even, I mean, anyone that's been in a job knows that they have these measures of success. Mm. And they are utterly designed for the 95 to 97% of adults who don't have ADHD. This was not on purpose, usually. But it is discriminatory if they've been told about it and they do nothing.
Give us some examples.
I love that. False. you look so happy to get it like on the right beat. But I've said the words. Okay, some of those things that we, as an ADHD group, often get discriminated against are things that society, including us, internalized stigma, tend to accept as the normal way of doing things and therefore just natural and right. For example, regulating alertness, sustaining effort on one thing, processing speed of thinking. When you're required to work on something in which you've got little interest at all and you've got ADHD, you can quickly get fatigue, lose energy, you lose alertness, you become so tired. You're much more likely to be effective if you're engaged with components of more than one task or tasks that you're interested in, especially if it's already been checked whether that interest and way of doing things has captured your interest and focus. Trying to manage frustration quietly is absolutely expected. Modulating emotions in a normal way is expected. People with ADHD get more easily frustrated, or more likely to. I mean that with everything I say, more likely to, easily frustrated, and more likely to express their emotions in ways that violate these normal workplace rules of courtesy and etiquette, even though they don't hurt anyone, although the same attributes can make them forceful and pervasive in their communication, some people say. Other specific challenges from a big meta-analysis of all the data in the papers suggests there are problems with maintaining work relationships and cooperation in the teams, negative consequences of impulsive actions, planning, prioritization, organization, structure, these executive functions, support, interventions, accommodations, and aid, or specific challenge around openness, as in who you are, understanding and acceptance of what we do and how we are, and having strategies and understanding our strengths and our own positive qualities. These are the pains.
So what does the 2010 Equalities Act cover?
James, it's 2024. That's how you ask a question. You've never quite managed it, have you? You just can't do it.
Never will. Always.
No. A great question, Sam. And as always, James didn't write it for you. Definitely not. What do they mean in this side? Yeah. Are you like doing that on purpose, like whispering it to yourself so you don't ruin it? Yeah. But the fact has been stated. What do they mean by reasonable? I do that too. What do they mean by reasonable adjustments in the workplace in these acts? It could mean lots of things. It could mean, for example, changing your working pattern, like hourly or shift wise, or your physical environment, or getting support for your day-to-day tasks, even the recruitment process now and in the future. And discrimination might be disciplinary proceedings against employees who've had meltdowns or outbursts or acted inappropriately, specifically when their conduct may have been linked to their medical condition. And we can see that this is a really difficult and grey area. If someone feels hurt and offended, then they also have rights, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Another one might be expecting a 9-to-5 working pattern for tasks that don't have to be done in the 9-to-5. If you're in a public-facing role, you've got to, you know, the shop opens at 9, shuts at 5. No one's suggesting you can come in at 3 a.m. It's reasonable. Expecting people to respond to surprise questions from memory when that could have been easily communicated earlier. If the role requires immediate memory-based answers, that's absolutely standard, perfectly reasonable. If it doesn't, then it probably is discrimination. Or it could be using words like fidgety, excitable, lazy, emotional, or Tuesday, as James calls it. That's just that one. That what I just said is discrimination. Comments like when you express you have ADHD at work, someone's saying, "Have you tried turmeric?" Actually, that one does work, to be honest, because I know I'm sponsored by turmeric, but unconnected, it's 100% effective. Everyone is a bit ADHD. At least you haven't got cancer. Or when I told somebody I had ADHD who worked with me in a medical school, an academic, they said, "No, you haven't."
Well, they know.
Yeah, they weren't.
Yeah, this wasn't a friend. Like, I probably spoke three words to them. In.
I see, we're in a hiatus now because the scripts went slightly off skew, and there's a red, blue, and green bit. So we're all waiting for the next.
Oh, I wasn't waiting for anything.
Well,
sorry.
Just go, Sam. Go, Sam. Go. Go,
okay,
Sam.
What are some of the things that you could ask for? Just off the top of my head.
Firstly, just a very good question.
Thanks. It was James's.
It's not that. Most important thing is, we're all different. So if you're in a workplace and you've got any kind of power to help with reasonable adjustments, ask the individual. We're all flipping different. I think the three of us have talked about it, and we'll talk about it again, but they're very different, aren't they? The things we need are very different. Yeah. James needs a dry slap, for example. That's discrimination in the workplace. There are thousands of them, and some very good examples on our own website as in our own charity website, see when this was written, and the other ADHD charities in the UK, such as ADHD Foundation, ADHD UK, there are some brilliant ones. Some of the things you might want to think about include, and boring list, I cannot choose them all because there's loads, but visual prompts, an extra computer screen, a standing desk, visible clocks, non-visible clocks, depends on the person. Independent workspace, or in my case, which is, I know this is weird, shared workspace. I worked better in a shared workspace environment. How crazy is that? I've never heard anybody say that before. Really? I always get people laugh at me for liking the not having my own workspace.
I remember when I had a job working from home, I hated it because I only did the bare minimum. If I've got somebody there with me, I will work harder.
Yeah, me too. It's so individual. It's so good. Asking your manager for clear information and expected outcomes and timeframes, regular reminders, important deadlines. There's lots of white noise apps, brown noise apps, note-taking apps, but pieces of paper.
Just to clarify, at the start of reading out the entire list, you did say, "I'm not going to read out the entire list," didn't you?
That isn't the entire list. It's really long. You can see the list, both of you. You were supposed to have a look through it, obviously. Neither of you have.
I look through it all the time. I've literally been updating the website this morning. The charity website, not ours.
What's the big one that works for you, Sam? Ding! First ding of 2024.
Noise-cancelling headphones, but I don't know if you can get those through reasonable adjustments, can you?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
You can.
Oh, absolutely. Can you? Okay.
Yeah,
that would be good for me.
I really like mine too. What about you, James?
It's the massive, massive and untapped. If your workplace uses Microsoft 365 or Office 365, whatever it's called, even just within Teams, there are so many different apps that can help you, such as linking To-Do to Outlook, such as organizers, planners, note takers. But most organizations don't tell you can use them or don't pay for the subscription to use them. So there is so much technology that can help you organize, prioritize, keep everything in one place, which most of us don't even know we've got within our workplaces. So tech, mate, tech.
No, absolutely. Just 30 seconds a day not using ChatGPT for pornography, I imagine would be a good idea. Right, last thought on the science is that there was one paper that suggested that actually feeling safe to disclose ADHD in the workplace was, psychologically beneficial. And organizations can help employees who have concealable disabilities to proactively disclose them and thrive if you provide a psychologically safe environment where disabilities aren't stigmatized in the first place. And the paper suggested that disclosing ADHD, get this, reduced stigma consciousness. That's the extent to which someone expects to be stereotyped, reduced it. Only if you're safe to do so. And actually, that might be linked to a skewed research, because those people who felt safe to do so might be working for employers who are already sensitive and open to supporting ADHD staff. But it's still a really interesting stat for me.
It is. Not for anybody else, but for you. On that note, we'll take a short break and we'll be back in part two for some heavily redacted personal reflections. See you in a bit.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Bye.
No.
Alex, hi.
Aight. What's up? Hello, Governor.
Welcome back to episode 148 of the ADHD Adults Podcast, where we're talking about ADHD and workplace discrimination. James, do you have any personal reflections on this that you can talk about?
Yes, I do. Now, as I have said before, I am quite militantly ADHD. And the second, the nanosecond I got my diagnosis, I told my employer at the time and immediately demanded support, as I knew was my right. Now, there have been opportunities since I got diagnosed, which is, what was it, February 2021, for me to be discriminated against. And I have been discriminated against, clearly. It's interesting because it's happened more than once. It's happened in different ways. It's happened in kind of overt, we are not going to support you ways, but also in kind of really almost innocuous, we're just not going to make any effort to do the things you've already asked us to do. So, for example, if you say to somebody who frequently calls you and says, I want you to do these three things, can you send me that in an email? Because I haven't got a pen and paper. I'm not going to remember those three things. And they say, no, you will. You'll remember it. And then they keep on doing that. And they know you've got ADHD. It's that kind of level of not kind of deliberate institutional, we're not going to support you, but even interpersonal lack of support. There is so much that I could go into. You may remember the beautifully crafted advice from my legal counsel when they heard that we were recording an episode on workplace discrimination, which was, what in the actual cunt curdling holy godmothery of shitting wank fuckery are you thinking?
is that your actual like legal?
Yes, it is. And therefore, that's why I have to be careful about what I say. I think it's important that I responded differently either time that I've been discriminated against. The first time, I was actually really angry. I mean, really angry. And it's the whole reason I actually got a tattoo, which says, I aim to misbehave, because I thought, you know what, I'm gonna really kick off and make trouble for people, and did make trouble for people. Second time I was discriminated against, the opposite, felt completely diminished. You know, had a massive impact on my identity and mental health. And so it's interesting for me, the two different responses. What I would say to be positive, because remember, we can't be too moany on this podcast, and I have to be a little bit happier, yeah, is that on the other side of things now, I and Alex and others are increasingly getting asked to go into organizations and give talks on ADHD. It's the speed at which these requests is accelerating is ridiculous, really. And that's a really good thing, because what it shows is that at the very least, some of these organizations are paying lip service to this. Now, it may just be lip service, and that's something that some organizations do. They like putting badges on their website saying that, you know, we have an equality, diversity, and inclusivity policy, but that very often doesn't include appropriate policies for neurodivergent conditions and disorders.
The ones that tend to contact us, James, when you chat to their employees offline, they say that they are supported, don't they? It tends to be the ones that where
yeah.
it isn't.
Yeah, I'll go. Yeah, no, absolutely, and it's some of the big companies as well, which is interesting. Yeah, yeah. And the people we hear from often who are struggling, like we are, not always, but often it's smaller organizations, or it's organizations which are big but kind of almost franchised into, you know, like the NHS, for example, where there are individual trusts or groups, hospitals, etc. So that's all I can say, really. Sam?
So I feel really bad for this, actually, because I haven't officially disclosed to my workplace that I have ADHD.
They're going to be shocked.
Well, that's the thing. I talk openly to everybody about it. So everybody that I work with knows. I talk about it all the time, my ADHD and my autism, and they're all really supportive. But because I haven't needed anything to be checked, like, I just kind of do it on a local level. So I'm like, this is what I, and I always kind of have, without saying I've got ADHD, before I even knew I had ADHD, I spoke to my manager and said, I've noticed that I react really badly to change, and I don't know why, and I didn't know why then. I said, so if there's a change coming, would you mind putting it in an email for me to give me a bit of notice, and then make a meeting like a week or so after? And I've noticed that by the time I kind of get used to it, I'll always react negatively at first, but once I get used to it, I come around to the idea, and then we can chat about it.
And did they just say yes and do it?
Yes.
Oh, that's
it's such an important point. One of the things that a lot of the people that I coach talk about, and this has happened to me a lot, is when somebody puts an appointment in your calendar and it just says quick catch up, and there's three important people in that meeting, there's no agenda,
no indication
of what that meeting is. It's a week from now and it just says quick catch up. What the fuck?
And this is the thing, because actually I am really open with everybody, and kind of always have been, about what I need and what I've noticed about myself and how they can help me. So it's without even saying that I had ADHD, I've always been able to say, oh, I'm struggling with this, and I'm really good at saying I'm struggling, can somebody help me, I'm really vulnerable, can somebody help me. So because that's always been ongoing, and actually I know the HR representatives really well, and I've spoken to them and said that I've got ADHD, but haven't officially logged it. And it's only when you were saying that about it raising awareness and stuff that I thought, actually, I probably should officially log it, even though it seems redundant because there's nothing that I need to ask for. I really should actually do that, because it might help the people in the workplace. And that's what I'm kind of not. I always think that me being open and honest, and literally I'll meet somebody for the first time at work and be like, oh yeah, I've got ADHD and I'm autistic and blah, blah, blah. But to affect change, I need to do more. And I've been thinking about this a lot as well, because I think I need to get involved in like neurodiversity networks and stuff, because I don't. Because I feel that I don't need it, but other people do.
Sat there eating peeled grapes that someone's handing to you.
Oh no. So I haven't experienced any discrimination because of my ADHD. So I haven't really got any personal reflections on this. How about you, Alex?
James, are you letting us say that? It's an amazing sentence.
What? I don't think I have.
It fits exactly what I'm going to say about me. Mm-hmm. I didn't recognise it for what it was. I'm not telling you you have been, honest. That was just a joke between us. But from my perspective, me, I didn't realise it was happening ever. I didn't know. I didn't disclose for ages because A, it was admin, and B, it required self-esteem.
Yes.
And imposter syndrome, fraudulent feelings. When I first ticked yes on do you have a disability, the shame that went through me like a lightning rod, because my legs work, was really hard to deal with. And as someone that tries to be an advocate for our community, that's a really difficult thing to live with. And discrimination isn't yes or no. There were, you know, Sarah, who I won't say her surname, Turner, who is one of our friends, and in a meeting, because she's just brilliant. And in a meeting when we worked together, someone suggested I'm on the quality assurance panel. I mean, like ADHD kryptonite. And she said, because it would have been so painful, he's not going to do that. That's not the role. And because she's wow. Powerhouse works, but I mean, she is powerful. And it was someone doing the opposite of workplace discrimination, you know? Mm. And so that it isn't just yes or no. People support you, people look after you, like your, was it line manager or boss, Sam?
Yeah, and I was just about to say, he's very good at that, at protecting yeah. me, because he knows that I will say yes to everything and take on too much. So every meeting almost with him is, how can we take some off? How can we work on you delegating? How can we work on you being able to let other people help you? He's really, really good, but I'm not very good at taking him up on it.
Exactly. Despite those supports, though, we get discriminated against all the time. And the one of the main reason I didn't do anything about it was I agreed with them. I thought they were right about me.
Yeah.
When everybody else does it the same way, does everything the same way, and it seems to be easy, and they've always done it that way, you internalize it. It's what we do. The idea of being worthy of support in a new way is quite literally, for me, hard to comprehend yeah. and hard to believe. And so these communities are what helps.
Yeah, and actually that's probably why I haven't even considered it or thought about what support I might need in the workplace, because I am afraid, I'm too afraid to ask for it.
Exactly, absolutely right. But being called fidgety, being told Alex talks too much or moves around all the time, all those things I've always been told, it really, I feel it right now. When I'm doing this podcast, sometimes I try and stop myself moving around. And Sam, you've taught me not to. You know, I now do it.
Oh, really?
Because I know it annoys. Yeah, yeah. That's 2024 thing to say. Don't just
give
me.
How did I teach you that?
Because you do it and you don't like it either, but you do it. And I don't want people to think.
And
that
you know
I'm just...
why I think? Because I cover myself up on the screen and I can't see myself. I think that's why I'm not aware that I'm doing it. Probably if I could see myself, I would stop doing it.
Yeah, I wonder if my shoulder... So I spin on the chair, and I wonder if it annoys people who watch. Why don't you comment on YouTube under a series of racist rants? I think that's it, James. We're not doing the game, are we, in 2020?
We are doing the game. Shut up. We are doing the game. Anyway, we'll do it quickly. So I've got to go for a blood pressure test later. Now... this is the fourth attempt to have this blood pressure test. I've got it wrong three times. I could have made three different versions of this game, but I'm going to go with one which actually happened, I think it was about a week before Christmas. It's not the first time this has happened. You've got three options. I had to have a blood pressure and pulse test to continue receiving my ADHD medication. And obviously it didn't go right. So did I, one, get the wrong clinic again? Did I, B, get the wrong day? Or did I, C, go for the wrong test?
Oh, that's good. I think you... oh, this is tricky because the one I want to do has got a funny joke attached, but it's the one I actually think it is. I don't think you went to the wrong clinic because your main, when you put home on your GPS device, it takes you to the place they take blood anyway because you're a Dracula. I don't think you took the wrong test because... because I fairly certain that you just went on the wrong day.
I'll just stop you there. You're right. Shut up with your stupid jokes and your rightness and you're getting things right again. That's 6-2. I went on Friday and said, I'm here for my blood pressure test. And they went, no. And I said, yes, I am. I've got it in my calendar. Look, they went, that was yesterday. I went, I put it in my calendar wrong then. So
nice.
Yeah.
And weren't you supposed to go today as well?
I am going today. Later,
it was supposed to go
no yesterday
Oh, yesterday. Yeah.
Day before yesterday. Yeah.
Day before yesterday, but missed.
It's not something I'm good at. Anyway, 6-2. I don't know how you're doing this, Alex. I'm trying to make them more difficult. But on that, again, depressing note, we will take yet another break and come back to give you the tip. See you in a bit.
Welcome back to episode 148 of the ADHD Adult Podcast 2024. We're talking about workplace discrimination again. We're redoing the script because of James's sweary lawyer. As always, in part three, Gabby Logan in, top tipping, just the tip, and Spunk Trumpets. We're giving you our top tips for how to either do workplace discrimination or how to avoid it. I can't remember. James, you're a big fan of bullying in the worst place. So what would your top tips be? Yeah.
Oh, God. So this is all a bit ableist, really, sadly, because unless you do have a supportive employer, unless you do have people that advocate for you, a really strong neurodiversity support group and policies in place, which some organizations do. I gave a talk for DPRG, I think they're called, and they're incredible. If you tell them you think you've got ADHD, they will pay for an assessment via educational psychologists. So it's not an NHS assessment, but they'll pay £400 to get you assessed. And if it's positive, you are then protected at work. That's like gold standard shit. But most employers aren't like that. So often protecting yourself in the workplace requires you having to do things yourself. And that is annoying, to put it mildly. If you're a member of a union, then it's likely that there is an element of support that you may have if you aren't a member of a union. What I would say is that what you can do proactively is to try and set expectations if it feels safe to disclose your ADHD and if you feel able to do so. So that is, for example, as Mrs. ADHD mentioned, is to say there are some things that I struggle with, so can I do them in a certain way? One of the biggest lies ever told in academia and business is when somebody asks, has everybody read the minutes? And everyone says, yeah. And absolutely fucking nobody has read the minutes of that last meeting, because nobody's going to read a 15-page document to find out the one bit in there that's involved with them. But if that was instead an email with bullet points of actions with an attached minute, that would not just be neurodivergent friendly, it would be friendly for all. So setting expectations by saying, please don't phone me and tell me to do three things. Send me an email. Please, in the email title, put what the email is about so it's clear. For example, don't put a meeting in that says quick catch up. You know, put an agenda or something in the meeting notes. These are things that can help you. If, very sadly, you're at the point where you feel that you are being discriminated against, document everything. Make sure that you send an email to somebody, whether it's your line manager preferably or HR, stating that what has happened or what is happening and that you feel that this is discrimination. Because if you get to the point, as sadly many people that we hear from do, where people just leave their jobs or people are effectively managed out of their jobs, then that discrimination, you know, should lead to you being recompensed and the organization that's discriminated against you having to compensate you. But without evidence, that can be really hard. If you haven't got evidence of that discrimination, if it's your word against theirs, then even with the support of organizations like ACAS, you know, there's little that you can do from that other than suffer and end up hating yourself. Last thing I'll say is, God, something conciliation and advice service.
It's specific to employment. When I was an employer, when I had my own business, I used to ring ACAS all the time to make sure that I was doing things correctly. And I would tell my employees to ring them to make sure that I was doing things correctly.
Yeah. And I'm sure in many other areas that there will be similar kind of arbitration type services. But for those of you that might be listening, I don't know why you would be, who don't have ADHD, it's so important. Support your staff. I mean, Alex talked about Sarah, Sam talked about her boss. Support your staff. If you know that you've got somebody in your team whether they work for you, alongside you, that has ADHD, stand up for them, advocate for them, be that person that says, no, actually, Alex is going to be shit at that job because he's dead thick. be the person that says, don't get James to mark, don't get James to mark 350 essays because it'll take him 5 months and he'll through a warning klaxon, probably attempt to end his life because of the stress and pressure it puts him under.
Support the people around you
because that helps other people who may suspect they've got ADHD feel more confident to then disclose. I'm going to go out of order. Alex, what about you?
So I'd say try and take a step back and be your own advocate, whether you disclose or not, is quite important. The number of people I speak to who say to me, I don't need to, I'm doing okay, I'm doing well, I'm successful, or I'm successful enough. And in some small cases, they've been successful because of their ADHD, and it is a really small number. But what I can see knowing them is that they're so unbelievably talented that with the right support, the success they could have had, or more likely, the healthier mental state they could have had to achieve the same success with a bit of support is unbelievable. And it isn't necessarily about getting a higher promotion or more money. It's about doing that healthily. And that is difficult without self-esteem. In most people I see, it's in spite of their ADHD and lack of support that they've achieved these things. And in most cases, family members, especially one of whom says it to me a lot, I'm doing well. I'm thinking, my God, you've no idea how good you could be. You know, this, these are people for me who are brilliant. It's in spite of, I'm doing okay doesn't take into account how well you could be doing with some fucking basic and cheap support from your employer, which starts with the question, how can we help? My number one tip is to say to yourself, you're not asking for these things for you. Because if you get them and you are a healthier employee, you take less time off stress, you're a better partner, you're a better relative. So you're doing this. Everything you ask for is for someone else. It is literally for your employer. It's literally for your partner and your kids if you've got them. It's literally for the next generation of employees. So everything you ask for is not for you, it's for them. And for many people with ADHD, that's fundamental in my experience, because we can't, can we? Can't say, oh, me please. Sorry, it's too difficult. That's my tip. Sam, what about yous?
Yeah, I think that's what you said about doing it for other people. Like I said before, I think, yeah. That is the one thing that, in a slightly different way, that's the one thing that I think is going to make me disclose it officially to my employer, just to help other people in my workplace that have ADHD, because I think the more people that disclose that they have it and ask for reasonable adjustments, the more used to adapting to people like us your organisation is going to be. Because if nobody comes forward, they're not going to know what ADHD is, or, you know, how they can help people with it. And although we're all different, I think the more people that come forward and say, I need help with this, it affects change in the workplace, doesn't it? Which I think is, so it's important to do that. I have to say, if you look at the charity website, ADHD Adults UK, we've got loads of information on this. The FAQ page is probably the best place to start, and you'll see heading for workplace issues with links to all the information that I'm going to say here. And I can include this in the show notes too, as if you like. Alec, as Alex says, if you have a diagnosis of ADHD, you're protected by the 2010 Equalities Act.
In the UK.
And it's a protected disability. If your ADHD is having a substantial and long-term adverse effect on your ability to carry out normal day-to-day activities. So there is some kind of, it's not clear cut. Yes, there is some nuance. It's not, if you have ADHD, you are entitled to this. It's only if ADHD affects you so that you can't carry out your day-to-day activities.
Do you like my new bell?
Also,
also said, yeah, why haven't you got like cancel background noise off? It doesn't matter. As Alex also said, you're entitled to reasonable adjustments, but to access these reasonable adjustments, you must report your ADHD diagnosis to your HR department, and that can be difficult for a lot of us. Also, if you're an adult in the UK who is looking for a paid job or is already employed or self-employed, and you live in England, Scotland, or Wales, Northern Ireland has a separate scheme, you're eligible for help under Access to Work. I do not do this while you're doing your shift. Thank you. Northern Ireland have got their own Access to Work scheme, as well as the Condition Management Programme and Workable NI. A diagnosis of ADHD is not needed in order to access Access to Work scheme. Mm. But a diagnosis significantly helps. That's why I'm mentioning this, because if you don't, but, and actually I have to say, you have to speak to your HR department though as well if you're going to access to work and if you are employed. Blah, 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 blah.
James, do you remember when she just used to say, I've got a busy tummy or whatever?
It's mad in town.
It's really mad.
Oh, I'm sorry. I will be.
No, it's gold.
It's brilliant.
Keep going. Okay. Seriously. Okay.
But the access to work is really good because it can cover things like coaching, a personal assistant in some places, workplace training to help people in your workplace know what ADHD is and know how to best support you, adapted or specialist equipment. And they can work with your employer to advise them on how best to support you in the workplace, including any reasonable adjustments that they think they should make. Also, as James said, if it's possible for you, we'd always recommend joining a trade union and ACAS. You can get free advice from ACAS. You don't have to give them your name, any details. They'll give you free, impartial advice on workplace rights, rules and best practice. And they also offer dispute resolution, including mediation and arbitration if needed.
I reckon you've got shares in ACAS.
I love ACAS. They've been so helpful for me. Honestly, it's the first place that I go with for anything. But yeah,
shopping.
Yeah.
Oh, can of Fanta and a bag of chips, please, ACAS.
I think that's about it, actually, for me.
Good, because I've been sitting.
I can see that Alex is. Yeah, sorry.
I have a feeling that when you do declare your ADHD, that all the forms are going to come back pre-filled in pretty quickly, Sam. There's not going to be a very long period of how does this impact you? Because we're not aware that you've got.
You know,
ADHD.
I remembered when Alex was saying about the tick box. I did go into my HR record once to do this.
Yeah.
And felt that, but also because it was, I was looking for this different headings. And ADHD came under learning difference or learning disability or something.
Oh,
and
God, I hate that.
It's not that. So I'm not ticking that box.
Yeah.
So that's what. And then I came out of it and thought, I'll just tell everybody instead. But I need do that.
I'm absolutely certain that you will go into HR and you'll knock on the door and they'll go, approved?
Yeah, well, I've already done that. I've told them, but I haven't officially logged it on the online thing. It doesn't matter.
No, it's really good. Can you come back and let us know what happens when you do, if you choose to?
Obviously, yeah.
Because it'll be. I'll make a note somewhere to ask you on another screen.
We're doing one of the fortnightly, monthly, yearly, Friday things.
Yeah.
And obviously, ADHD Towers documents my day-to-day life.
That was probably the best tip we've given so far, I would say. Well done, Sam. You've smashed that. Anyway, that was the re-recorded, heavily redacted episode 148 of the ADHD Adults podcast, where we talked about ADHD and workplace discrimination in a way. If by miracle you enjoyed this episode, didn't find it offensive or legally challenging, you can find more content by subscribing on Patreon. Visit www.theadhadults.uk to find out more and to get in touch if you want to. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, all.
Trigger warning, klaxon. Klaxon, klaxon. Klaxon, klaxon. Big klaxon. Trigger warning, klaxon. Klaxon, klaxon. Klaxon.